The Skagway Assembly continues work on an MOU with White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad. And the Haines Assembly and Alaska State Troopers meet to address police service. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Abby Collins. Those stories and more are up next. For the second time this week, the Skagway Assembly met to review a document that could provide a way forward on port improvements. The group made some notable edits to a Memorandum of Understanding with White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad. The Assembly held a special meeting to review an MOU with the railroad. The agreement would make way for important waterfront improvements and a new 15-year tidelands lease with the private company. Assemblyman Orion Hansen is one of the Assembly members who's been negotiating with the railroad since discussions restarted earlier this year. He suggested amending the MOU to make White Pass responsible for the full cost of a new floating dock instead of splitting it with the municipality.
I'm looking for a solution to where we're pushing forth the issue, and also this greatly speeds up the ability to get this dock done because White Pass can build this cheaper than we can, and they could probably get it permitted, you know, if not faster, then at least as fast without the red tape that we incur as a city.
Hansen suggested the municipality contribute the $7.5 million that would have been spent on the floating dock to the roll-on, roll-off portion of the structure or other improvements to the ore dock basin. The floating dock is needed to accommodate larger cruise ships in coming years. The Assembly approved the amendment in a 5-1 vote. White Pass official Tyler Rose says this is an option the company is entertaining right now. But he says there needs to be more discussion. Rose says White Pass is planning separate improvements for the railroad dock to make room for bigger vessels in 2019. He says he's hopeful the Assembly will adopt the MOU and send it to the negotiating committee. The Assembly accepted several changes recommended by the borough's attorney that provide incentives for the railroad to complete cleanup and remediation of the ore basin. The Assembly adopted a change that says a new lease will not happen if that cleanup doesn't conclude by the end of the current agreement in 2023. And they set a condition in the current draft of the MOU that the ore basin has to be removed from the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation's list of contaminated sites. The changes to the MOU would also make way for liquidated damages if the cleanup isn't completed or in the event of future contamination. Assemblyman Jay Burnham moved to make another amendment, looking ahead to the future of the other side of the port, the railroad dock.
And seeing how we're kind of moving towards purchasing all, or I guess acquiring the tidelands, that's a prime chunk of tidelands that we should look at acquiring in one way or another.
Burnham suggested adding a section to the MOU that would give the municipality the right of first refusal to either purchase or acquire the railroad dock and tidelands under it if White Pass is sold. Hansen pushed back.
I think that becomes a real imposition to the spirit of this MOU at that point because we are forcing them to sell something to us in the event that they make a business decision as a part of an asset that then breaks up what they've been doing for over 120 years.
The addition passed after Mayor Monica Carlson broke a tie in favor of the action. Carlson favors the municipality controlling the port. Reading a statement at the start of the meeting, Carlson told the Assembly there are other ways forward besides a new lease.
White Pass is not our only option going forward. Going forward, we don't know who will own White Pass and who we are negotiating with tonight. We can continue tonight or we can stop it now. Tell White Pass we will work in partnership with them until 2023, at which time we will have control of our future. The port is the golden key that unlocks our future for Skagway.
The Assembly voted to send the amended draft MOU back to the attorney for review. They'll take it up again at the next regular Assembly meeting. Borough officials in Haines met with Alaska State Troopers over the phone this week to address an ongoing disagreement about police response. One thing was clear. Haines needs a new plan to make sure law enforcement can operate sustainably. KHNS's Barrett Wilbur reports.
Haines's trooper position was cut this year when budget cuts and a shortage of officers forced the state to tighten services. Since then, officials have been trying to figure out how to provide law enforcement throughout the borough. Neither local police nor the troopers feel like they have enough resources to respond to needs outside of Haines's town site. Both made it clear the problem is not about the immediate safety of the community, but sustainably enforcing the law. In a meeting this week, State Trooper Director Colonel Hans Brinke said his department sees the Haines police as the primary responders in the area.
Who's going to be the primary respondable individual? It's our contention that the Haines Borough Police Department has responsibility within the Haines Borough.
Haines officials pushed back. The conversation centered around a few main questions. Do Haines police officers have the authority to respond to calls in the Haines Borough outside the town site? If so, do they have the resources? Bob Griffiths, director of the Alaska Police Standards Council, has an answer to the first question. While Haines Borough Code establishes the town site specifically as the, quote, police service area, Griffiths says police can still operate outside it. They have to in order to do their jobs.
All police officers in Alaska have statewide jurisdiction and have authority to investigate crime and make arrests anywhere in the state of Alaska.
But Haines officials expressed concern about asking police to take primary responsibility for a larger area without additional funding. Police Chief Heath Scott echoes that worry.
Right now it's an unfunded requirement. We're budgeted for town site activity. So every time I go outside the town site, there's essentially a cost that sometimes is difficult to absorb within our budget.
And beyond financial costs, there are logistical issues.
If we have one officer on duty and we send him out to Haines Highway, out to 26 Mile, then there's nobody in the town site.
By the end of the meeting, officials hadn't reached a consensus about the best way to get more resources to Haines Police. Council members mentioned options including expanding or raising property taxes, lobbying the legislature for funding, and a VPSO for Klukwan. A wildlife trooper remains in Haines to assist police in responding to emergencies. In Haines, I'm Barrett Wilbur.
Sea Alaska is increasing its investments in Seattle's seafood processing industry. It's part of the Southeast Alaska Regional Native Corporation's effort to boost revenues and increase dividends. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
Sea Alaska's first investment in the industry came in 2016. It bought a minority interest in Independent Packers Corporation, a Seattle processor employing about 180 people. It next purchased a majority stake in Odyssey Enterprises. It's also in Seattle and has about 200 workers. The new addition is Orca Bay, based in Renton, about 10 miles southeast of Seattle. It makes similar products and has about as many workers.
The products they have, their customer base, their marketing strategies, their access to resource, all is very complementary.
Anthony Malott is president and CEO of Sea Alaska, which has about 23,000 shareholders, mostly Tlingits or Haidas. He says Orca Bay is in the process of merging with Odyssey.
The combination of the two offers, you know, not only good scale, but an opportunity to, you know, have an expanded customer base and give us a platform where we can continue to build our marketing expertise, try innovative new products, and be the beginning of the seafood platform that we envisioned.
He says it's Sea Alaska's last processing investment for now, but the corporation also plans to purchase Alaska Seafood for the plants. Sea Alaska's seafood buys are part of a five-year recovery plan after its construction company lost more than $25 million and other businesses more than doubled that amount. Among other things, the plan called for development of businesses closer to Southeast Alaska and the Pacific Northwest, where many shareholders live. Earlier investments included plastics factories as far away as Alabama and Guadalajara, Mexico. Malott says processing is one reason the corporation has been able to boost its part of this month's $11 million shareholder distribution.
The earnings have improved across the board. Natural resources, government services, and the new seafood investments are all adding to the earnings that are culminating in this increased dividend.
The dollar per share contribution isn't a lot, but it's the largest in the past few years. Earnings from Sea Alaska's Marjorie Young Permanent Fund added another 86 cents per share. But the largest part of the dividends comes from natural resource earnings shared by all 12 regional native corporations. That amount, $4.10 per share, is down. In Juneau, I'm Ed Schoenfeld.
For KHNS News, I'm Abby Collins. Thanks for joining us tonight.